This is the introduction to our teaching series on healing trauma. And let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank you for being with us. We thank you, Lord, that you are a God who heals. You are a God of comfort. And Lord, I realize that during this series that hearts will be stirred. And Father, I would just pray that you be God of the stirring, and that you would heal, and that you would restore, and that you would bless. Father, we just acknowledge you, we love you, and we commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the goals of this teaching series are, number one, for those of you who have experienced trauma and have lived for years with its devastating effects, we want you to know that there is hope. There is healing, you can find peace, and there is freedom. And for those of you who love someone who has been traumatized and really has suffered along with them, we want you to know that there is hope. We want to help you to understand on a deeper level what your loved one has gone through, and in many cases is still going through. We want to impart courage to you and strength, especially in those places where you're weary, where you haven't had the tools that you needed to deal with what you're dealing with. And we want to help facilitate healing for your own heart as well. For those of you that are taking this course to be better equipped to minister, we want to give you a deeper understanding of trauma and its devastating effects. We want to share with you some keys in ministry, some specific prayers that will help you to bring resolution to the trauma. We want to give you some practical ministry tips to help you as you endeavor to be God's conduit of love and healing grace in a very broken world. Now, learning about trauma and its effects is very important, but in order for healing to really happen, knowledge alone will never be enough. Knowledge can never resolve or override traumatic experience. And really, it will never be able to truly reach the depths of our broken heart. Understanding and knowledge alone are not enough. We need not only to gain new knowledge, we need to gain new experiences. Now, throughout this teaching series, I'm going to be referring frequently to the story of Job. And if you haven't read the story of Job, it's a wonderful story of one man's journey through incredible trauma. It's found in the Old Testament of the Bible. And Scripture describes Job as a righteous man, a man full of integrity, a man blameless, a man who loved God and shunned evil. And in fact, Scripture says that he was the greatest man among his people in all of the East. Job was very wealthy. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters and many possessions. Job carefully obeyed the laws of God. In fact, it was his custom to offer sacrifices for his children in case they had cursed God in their heart. And so Job tried to cover all his bases. Now, Job lived under what some scholars call Torah obedience. And it's the basic understanding, if I obey the laws of God, if I obey his commandments, then he is obligated by covenant to bless me. And if I disobey or break his laws, then God is obligated to punish me or to withhold his blessing. So in some ways, it becomes like an equation. If I do A and B, then God is obligated to do C. And this equation had always worked for Job in the past. He was highly blessed by God and highly favored by men. But Michael Card explains this in his book, A Sacred Sorrow. He says this, that when we hold to this equation, if I do A and B, God is required to do C, that we reduce God to one who merely responds to the actions of his creatures and is rendered predictable and in some ways controllable. When suffering entered Job's life, that equation was turned upside down, and that safe element of predictability vanished. And it became a puzzle. If I can't be good enough, if I can't be careful enough, then there has to be a missing piece of the equation. There has to be a missing piece of the puzzle. And as we follow the story of Job and we walk through his suffering with him, we begin to see that Job begins to understand. I can't be good enough. I can't be careful enough. I need someone to stand between me and God. And we see that Job had at the beginning a reverential fear of God, but as he began to go through his trauma, it turned to terror. Listen to what he says in chapter 9. He said, "If only there were someone to arbitrate. If only I had someone to remove God's rod from me so that I would not be terrorized." And here we see that Job begins to believe that he's being punished. He can't figure it out. He's tried to walk as carefully as he can, serve God to the best of his ability, and yet these bad things were happening. And he realized, oh my gosh, there has to be a missing piece. And in chapter 16, we begin to see what that missing piece is. Listen to what Job says. He says, "Even now, my witness is in heaven. My advocate is on high. My intercessor is my friend. As my eyes pour out tears to God, on behalf of a man, he pleads with God as a man pleads for his friend." And so first Job began to see, I need an arbitrator. And then he begins to catch a glimpse through his tears, a witness that is in heaven, an advocate that stands in the gap for him, that pleads for him, that intercedes for him, that is his friend. What a revelation. Through Job's tears, through all of the trauma, he begins to catch a glimpse of the face of Jesus. He begins to understand and catch a glimpse of the missing piece of the puzzle. When Brian did the artwork for the workbook and resource and study guide, he showed me the picture, and it just blessed my heart. I thought, that's it. That's exactly it, what the Lord has been showing me about the missing piece of the puzzle. And the missing piece of this broken heart is the cross of Jesus Christ. And Job began to catch a glimpse of that cross, of that friend, of that witness. And then in chapter 19, this is what Job says. He says, "I know that my Redeemer lives, and in the end he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. With my own eyes I will see him, I and not another. How my heart, it yearns within me." And that word for know is a Hebrew word, yada, and it means intimate, firsthand, experiential knowledge. And it's the same word that's used in Genesis when Adam knew Eve and she conceived a son. And so it's that intimate relationship that brings forth fruit. And so Job said, first he sees and then he knows. Oh, it's not just a cognitive knowledge of God and his laws. I know. I have an intimate understanding. I have a revelation. And this revelation is producing fruit in my life. And Job is saying, I see him. I'm going to see this. I'm going to experience this. And so it goes from just a cognitive knowledge to a place where Job says, how my heart yearns within me. It became a heart knowledge. And we know and we see that it was this kind of knowledge that sustained Job through his traumas, that got him through that valley of trouble that he walked through. Now, at one point in the story of Job, we see Job sitting in the ashes, and he's scraping his wounds with a piece of pottery. And his wife comes to him and says, "Job, are you still holding on to your integrity? Why don't you just curse God and die?" And to me, as we see this picture of this man who has suffered terribly, and he's sitting in the ashes of our life, of his life, it's a picture of what happens sometimes in our own life, that we're sitting in those ashes and we're scraping our wounds. And we're crying out, and some of us with tears that fall to the ground and mix with the ashes, and some of us with tears and sorrow that cannot be expressed. We are overwhelmed with all the whys. God, I don't understand. We're confused. I've tried to follow the equation. I've tried to do A, B, and C. Lord, I don't get it. Oftentimes, we're just overwhelmed with all of the wonderings and all of the despair. And oftentimes, we are faced with the same questions that Job was faced with. Will I hold on to my integrity? Will I curse God? Will I give up on my life? Will I continue to scrape my wounds and keep them fresh and keep them vulnerable to infection and bitterness? Will I continue to sit in the ashes of my life and allow those tears and the ashes to become something caustic in my life? Now, there's something interesting that happens in the natural when you take ashes and you mix the ashes with water. It becomes a very caustic chemical called lye. And if you get lye on your skin, it can burn you. If you get it in your eyes, it can blind you. And if you swallow lye, it can kill you. What's true in the natural is true in the spiritual. That if we stay in that place of bitterness and sorrow, and we continue to scrape our wounds, oftentimes bitterness will start to grow in our heart, unforgiveness, resentments, angers, and it becomes very, very caustic. And it affects our life, but also the lives of the people around us. Now, Job's answer to his wife that day was this: "You are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble?" Later on, Job said this: "Though he slay me, yet will I hope in him." Job knew his God. And as with Job, the choices are ours. Let's just take a moment and ponder those questions that we went through a little bit ago. Are you going to hold on to your integrity? Are you going to curse God in your sorrow and in your pain? Are you going to give up on life? Are you going to continue to sit in those ashes of your life, scraping your wounds? If you've chosen today, if your heart is choosing right now to choose to get up out of the ashes, there is some really good news for you. In Isaiah 61, there's a wonderful passage, and let me read it to you, beginning with verse 1. "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom from the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor." And so we see this declaration that this is what the Spirit of God longs to do. Well, Luke tells us in the New Testament that one day in the temple, Jesus took up this passage. He took up the scroll and he read from the scroll. And after he had read it, he rolled up the scroll and he sat down. And he said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your hearing." And so what he was saying, "This is why I've come. I have come to fulfill this scripture. This is my mandate. I have come to heal your broken heart. I have come to give you freedom. I have come to release you from your darkness and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." This is really good news, that this is the year. This is the year for you, for the year of God's favor. Now, people, sometimes when we go through trauma, we don't feel very much like God's favorite. We don't feel very much that we are receiving the favor of God. But I believe that if you're listening to this DVD, that this promise is yours today, that God's favor is on you, that this is your year for God's favor. Jesus said, I have come to proclaim the vengeance of our God. And this is really good news too, that I have come, Jesus said, to establish justice, to make things right. What you have experienced, what you have suffered is not just. It has not been fair. But the Lord says, this is the year for the vengeance of God. This is the year for God to come and to rescue you out of that darkness, to comfort your heart, to give you a crown of beauty instead of ashes. And you know, I firmly believe that God, if we let him, he will take those ashes and he will take those tears. Scripture tells us that not one of our tears falls to the ground except that the Father knows. And he gathers up those tears and he stores them. And he will take those tears and he will take those ashes and he weaves them together, not to make a caustic chemical, but to make something glorious and beautiful, something that is a crown of beauty. In fact, Scripture tells us that he who perseveres under trial, that in the end he will receive a crown of life. So God will take these things if we give them to him, if we choose to give up these things and say, Jesus, would you come? Would you come and heal? And Jesus said, this is why I've come, to give you the oil of gladness instead of mourning and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. So that, you know, when there's a so that in Scripture, we need to pay attention. That so that is there for a reason. And Jesus is saying, I'm going to do all of these things for you. This is why I've come, so that you will be an oak of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for his glory, that you will be a vessel of honor, that you will be a vessel of glory. Jesus said, in me, it has been fulfilled. Now, soon after Jesus made this wonderful declaration, he was betrayed, he was beaten, he was shamed, and he was crucified on the cross. That perfect Son of God endured unimaginable trauma so that, and here's another so that we can be healed. Now, I believe that Jesus looked down through history and he saw me and he saw you and he knew the trauma that we would experience. In fact, Jesus prepared us for it. When he was here, he said, in the world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. And so in this world, we will know trauma. But we can take heart because Jesus is here and he paid the price so that we can be healed, so that we can endure. He carried the weight of our grief and our sorrow and our suffering so that we would not be crushed by it. Jesus comes alongside and he lifts off that burden and he gives us his peace. But this wonderful gift, it, as wonderful as it is not automatic. It is available. Jesus died. There's not one more thing that Jesus needed to do. He's done it all. But we have to make a choice too. He chose to do these things for us, and we need to choose to make a choice to receive that beautiful gift, to embrace it, to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I choose to give you these ashes. I choose to give you these tears. And I believe that you will make out of them a crown of beauty for me. The question is, what is your choice today? Now, in the book of Revelation, Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open up the door, I will come in unto him and will sup with him and he with me. Now, we often use this scripture for evangelism, and that's okay. It's a wonderful verse for evangelism. But the truth is that the book of Revelation was written to the church. And so Jesus is saying, there are parts of your heart that are closed to me. Would you open up that door? I'm knocking at the door of your heart. Will you let me in? can I come in and talk with you? Have fellowship with you? Will you come to know me intimately? Will you come to know me as your advocate, as your intercessor, as your redeemer, as your friend? Some of you may not know this Jesus yet. And this is a wonderful opportunity for you to say yes to him. Yes, Lord, would you come into my life? Would you come into my heart? Thank you for the price that you paid for me. I believe that you died for me. I believe that you paid this price. Lord, I'm opening up the door to my heart. Come in and be my redeemer. Be my savior. Be my good shepherd. And be my healer and deliverer. Lord, manifest yourself to me today. And he will. He longs for you to be healed. He longs for you as much as your heart longs for that. He longs even more. And he wants to come in and to be your redeemer today. Now, your journey to healing will begin with this first step, just saying yes to Jesus, daring to look through your trauma to catch a glimpse of the face of God. Now, those of you who have a workbook, there is a prayer that we've written out. And I encourage you, if you would like, to pray the prayer through with me. I'm going to pray it out loud. And those of you who do not have a workbook, you can just listen to the prayer. And in those places where you're in agreement, you can say, yes, Lord. And you can make this your prayer as well. So, Lord, please reveal yourself to me so that I can begin to know you the way that Job did. I want to give you the broken pieces of my life. And I ask that you heal me. I'm opening up the door to my heart, and I'm inviting you to come in. Save me. Heal me. Deliver me. Rescue me, O God. I know that your word promises that you will someday wash all the tears from my eyes, but Lord, will you do that now? Will you gather up all of my tears? The ones that I've cried and the ones that are bottled up in me ready to explode. So much of my life hasn't made sense, and sometimes it feels like the pain is going to overwhelm me. Sometimes I've even felt a little bit like Job. But even after all that Job went through, he knew that you would redeem and restore. I want that kind of knowledge. But so many of my life experiences have written different messages upon my heart. Sometimes I've been angry at you because of those messages, and it's been so hard to trust anyone, let alone you. God, I want to see you as the loving, kind, and compassionate God that you are. I'm willing to take this first step. Please give me courage to keep walking. And God, if there are times when I can't walk anymore, will you come and carry me? Or if there are times when I just want to sit down in the ashes again and give up, will you come and sit with me and be my friend and grant me hope enough to start walking again? Thank you, Jesus, for being my advocate and for being my friend. In your name I pray. Amen.
From an orphan to a son, you have redeemed this, and my heart can love again. I can love again. Blessing was passed down from a father to a son. Burden was lifted. In you I will remain. I will remain. So I come and I bow. Oh, I fall before you now. Take me and take it all, for you have made for me a home. Now make your home in me. I dance upon of the shame that I once knew. These broken pieces of my offering to you. My offering to you. Your love is a lighthouse, and I found my way home. Oceans behind me. Now the joy of loving you. The joy of loving you. So I come. Make your home.